Blog Talk Radio.
And then we kiss.
Not thy will. Not thy will, but thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done, Lord. On this earth, thy will be done. In my home, thy will be done. On my job, thy will be done. Hallelujah. Come on and confess with me, someone. I confess my sins to you, Jesus, that thy will be done. I lay down all of my burdens tonight, Jesus, that thy will be done. We lift you up and we praise your name, that thy will be done. The things that may not go the way that I thought it should go, oh, but I surrender right now by saying thy will be done. I will surrender. I step back. I take my hands off of any situations that is holding me up. I break any strongholds in the name of Jesus, and I deliver it over to you and say, thy will be done in my life. Thy will be done in my city. Thy will be done in my state. Thy will be done, hallelujah, in this world, all creation. Regardless of what goes on and what decisions we make, your will be done. Thy will be done. So the quicker we surrender, the quicker that we just move out of the way, move back, throw up our hands and just declare it all to you, how the more successful we will be, the more happier we will be. We run around trying to find success and happiness, Jesus, but it's all in you. So thy will be done in our lives. Thy will be done in our lives. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. We surrender all to you, Jesus. Surrender all to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Even over this broadcast, dear Father, and all the sponsors and the ones that have put it together, dear Father, hallelujah, you are our resource. Hallelujah, you're our resource. Have your way. Have your way, dear Father. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Our scripture tonight comes from Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 16 is where we're going to start at. Hallelujah, Jesus. Have your way. Speak to your people. Deliver your people. Set somebody free, the captive. Hallelujah. Captive in heart. Hallelujah. Set them free right now, right now, right now. Matthew's 19:16 reads, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good, and if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man inquired. And Jesus replied, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as thyself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciple, I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible. Hallelujah. But with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. Somebody need to receive that right now. One more time. That with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Verse 27. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then would there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who has followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've read to you tonight our scripture, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's some powerful stuff, and it's delivered just for your ears and mine. Now to penetrate through your ears, through your mind. And now it's got to get wrapped around your heart so you can start to live the word. Again, Matthew 19, verse 16 through 30. 16 through 30. Now, I feel like, and I know that that's a lot of power in those, in the scripture we've just read. So I pray right now, Jesus, that you bless all the hearers of this word. All the hearers of this word. I ask you to wrap your arm of blessings around them. And then all of the doers of this word, the ones that's going to do, not just sit, hear, but the ones who are really going to do, we ask blessings over them, Jesus, right now. Right now. So how do we do it? We need to keep the commandments. Which of the commandments? All of the commandments. If you want to enter life, just obey the commandments. Hallelujah. The legacy of a supernatural peace. We're looking for liberty. Look it around. I look around and I see all of the different people there. We're screaming out. We're screaming out on our jobs. We're screaming out in our schools. We're screaming out, dear Father, in the White House. We're screaming out on tours everywhere we go. We're just screaming out, dear Father. We're screaming out. We're lost. We're in turmoil. We're screaming out on the battlefields. In foreign lands, we're screaming out. In our local cities, I don't care big or small, we're just screaming out. Pick up a newspaper, turn on your computer, get on the internet. We are screaming out. Our flesh doesn't understand what's going on. It's seeking for something, and it doesn't know how to get it. So it screams out in all kind of different areas. But we know what it is that we were built to be for you. We were built to love you. We were built, created to walk with you. And without that, our body starts to get into anxiety mode. Nobody likes anxiety. It's terrible. It's draining. It drains you. It's draining to live with anxiety, and it's draining to live with worry. And then we start to scream out, and we act out on those screams. And this is just more horrific each time that we hear the breaking news. We just can't believe. And we think that the thing that happened before that, that was major. And then the natural disasters and all of these things to build up. But I like peace. And we as people, we like peace and happiness. We like it a whole lot more than fear and worry and anxiety. But we don't know how to get it. We go the wrong ways. So what do I do when the devil tries to bust me up right in the midst of my circumstance? What do I do when he tries to fill me with anxiety? Because he tries to fill me with anxiety. It means he's got to empty out my joy. That means he's got to empty out my peace. And then he wants to fill it back up with fear, anxiety, worry, anger, guilt, jealousy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I have to remind myself of that secret thing that Jesus left to me. I remind myself of my legacy to have peace, my legacy to be at peace with myself, with my neighbor, my legacy to have liberty, my legacy to be free. So how free do you want to be? How free do you want to be? Talking about that amazing spiritual gift that Jesus left to the body of Christ. He went to the cross after he was resurrected and after he went home to be with his Father. Again, I'm talking about the legacy of supernatural peace that Jesus left for you. I know you're not in peace right now, but Jesus left for you. Do you want to be free? Are you so caught up in where you're at that it's comfortable now? Are you afraid? Have you got so much worry on you now? Every day, are you just been filled more? Because the enemy will look and see, let's top her off. Her jealousy level's getting a little low. Top it off. She's getting a little strength. She heard the evangelist's word. She's getting a little stress now. Top her off with worry. Give her a little bit more anxiety. Top it off now with fear. Put it, match it together. Give her a triple dose. Hallelujah. And he's still in your joy. Joy wasted. You want your joy back? I know you got to know that you've got to fight. You know, as kids and as toddlers, we teach our kids and was taught by our parents that at certain times you had to stand up for your own rights. At certain times it was okay to say, mine, mine, this is mine, this is mine. This is exactly what we're talking about now. This is your time to stand up and say, this is mine. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. So when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy my thoughts, my future, my family, my finances, my marriage, relationships, even my friendships, comes to destroy my community, house by house, until my whole city is infected, until my whole feet now is infected. And it reaches out and it boards and it touches into other states. And before you know it, our whole country is infected with fear, with anxiety. And that's what's happening around us now. That's exactly what's happening around us now. Because we would rather not pray and worry. So easier now to worry than pray. It's so easier now for us to get afraid and have an anxiety attack than it is to go to get together, assemble together, intercede for one another, and go in prayer. You're so afraid now, the enemy has you so afraid, you're afraid to even go out of your house to go to assembly with your sister, brother, for prayer. Because the fear set in so deep. That's just how deep it is. But how free do you want to be? Let's keep it real. You tell me, the evangelist, I'm not really interested in being any freer than where I am right now. Because you don't really understand my situation. I live by myself. Or in the city that I live in, I can't afford to go against what the community is saying. If I walk outside of my door and try to do anything any differently, my life could be in danger. You say, I can't afford to change or go against the grain. So I want to stay just where I'm at. I want to live just like I'm living. If you want to do that, then that's good for you. But I really beg of you, what good is it really to read the word, to acknowledge it's God's word, to acknowledge that God is your leader, to acknowledge that God has all power? What good does it do? Could it be that we're just wanting the words to tickle our ears? Could it be that we just get a joy out of repeating those words to someone else when we want them to live by the word? And could it be that we never have any intention of living in the word ourselves? Could it be that when it comes down to our situations, personal situations, that we truly don't believe that he has all power, that he does have power? We believe that the enemy has won this game. And we are slapping God in the face daily when we open our mouths and let the words come out, or even have it in our hearts. You know, the devil is mighty. The devil is strong. The devil is just destroying. He's just doing everything. And, you know, wow, God's people, we try, but we just can't win. Nothing gets past God. God said, I am the great I am. That means it was nothing before him. There was no one before him. He formed us. Everything that you see, every being that ever will be, is because of his hands, the mighty works of his hands. So there is no way that anything, any being, any person, anything, any entity could be any stronger than the Creator. So we are the hands. We say that we invite him to come and live inside of us. So I'm just asking if we could just get together. And let's just try. Let's just get it. Just trust God. Just God to make a difference in your life. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, let's make a difference. I want you to be at peace. Because God wants you to be at peace. God wants you to take advantage of the liberty that he's given you. Hallelujah. Jesus left that liberty for you. You see, Jesus knew what I have to deal with in life. He knew exactly what you would have to deal with in life. He knew what worries was going to come your way. So he made a plan to leave you a legacy that you could be proud of, a legacy that you could rejoice over, a legacy that you can lean on in times of trouble. And he left that very same legacy to me, to you, to your ancestors, and to generations to come. The same legacy. So now, if you don't get a hold of the legacy, how is your generations to come ever going to get it? So it's now time for you. If you got a hold to something precious, you would want to hold on to it and try to spread it on, share it with your family. So why not can't you take the legacy? How free do you want to be? How free do you want your kids to be? How free do you want your grandkids to be? Jesus has left you a legacy. And it's that same legacy that you can hold on in times of trouble. So where were the disciples? Before Jesus went to the cross, he had a talk with the disciples about dealing with trouble. Again, he knew the things was about to get rough. He knew the things that you're going through in your life. He knew the things was going to get rough for you in your life. As with the disciples.
he knew that he was going to have to leave them physically. And he knew that they was going to feel like the world was collapsing around them. In your situation, he knew that you was going to feel like, right now, this is the end. It can't get any worse. So again, what did Jesus do? What did he assure them of? What did he promise them? The Gospel of John answers all those questions. In fact, let's read a few passages right now so we can see some of the things that he answered in that. As we go, let's do with John 14, and we'll do 1 and 4. God bless you in the chat rooms. God bless you. John 14, 1 and 4 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now let's just make God's word personable. "Let not your heart, Vaughn, be troubled. Ye believe in God, then also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way ye know." John 14, 1 and 4. So let's see then the answers to some of the questions. Did he give you some assurance? Did he leave us with some promise? Did he leave us with some hope? Yes, he did. Did he tell us to worry about it? Did he tell us to stay here in fear until he returns for us? Did he say stay here with living in anxiety until he returns to us? Did he say stop praying and start to worry, because look around you and keep your eye on what's going on around you? But no, he didn't. So he tells us, he just starts out, just he's saying, "I'm just letting you know, I know that things are going to get rough for you here. But let not your heart be troubled." And we have to tell ourselves that when we're in the midst of our troubles. "Oh, God, my heart is troubled. God, I need help. I need my joy back." The enemy, I'll have allowed in some way him to steal my joy and kind of fill me with fear. I release it right now in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, I release all fear. I release all anxiety. I don't care what the situation is. And even if you're not feeling the release of it, go ahead and physically start to smooth that thing. Then accept it. "Jesus Christ, I accept your joy. Jesus Christ, fill me with the legacy that you left me, the legacy of peace. Fill me with peace right now. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Your word told me that my heart should not be troubled, that I should believe in you. And I believe that you have one to prepare a place for me. And that where you're at, you're going to come back and get me and receive me unto you." In other words, Jesus was saying, don't get down in the dumps. Don't get down in the dumps when things hit the fan. But believe God anyway. Believe God anyway. Believe in me and what I'm about to tell you. He says, what I'm about to tell you is that I'm going home to my Father. Now, there are a lot of nice houses where he lives, but I'm going to build you a storehouse. So if I'm going to build you a house, then don't you think I'm coming back to get you? We'll be together again. You know the way to get there. It's through me. You know the way. It's through me. So, of course, now that we know that it's through him, look around. All around you, you have distractions. Everything trying to distract you to keep your eyes away from the true way, from the only way to get there. You know, if you go to the sports games, and especially I'm just going to use basketball, and, you know, when someone gets ready to shoot a free throw, you know, the audience there from the opposite team, those fans there are just doing anything they can to try to distract the shooter, because they don't want him to make the basket. They want to get his concentration off of the goal, off of what he's doing, and get their mind on looking at the colors or looking at the clappers they got or listening to what they're saying. Anything, anyway, stomping, making noise, moving, giving sounds, colors, to get your eye off of your purpose. That's what's going on right now. That's why you're feeling so much fear. That's why you're feeling like every day, I get up a little bit better today, and by the end, middle of the day, I'm even lower in the dumps than I was to start with. Every day, I try to get started. I smile. I try to treat people right. But I find myself in fear by the end of the day. I can't wait to get to the bar. I can't wait to get to somewhere that I shouldn't be, because that's what's giving me some release right now. It is false hope. It is false hope. It is a deception to get your mind, to get your eyes off of your purpose. You know the way to get to the Christ. You know the way to get to your peace. You know the way to get to your joy. And it's only through Jesus Christ. And so you come home from a hard day and you make up your mind that today I'm going to come in the house and I'm not going to turn on the TV and go to anything else. I'm going to go to straight to the Word, and I'm going to pull out the Word. And today I'm just going to take some time out, and I don't care who else is in the house. I'm going to find a quiet place, and I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to take out some time to pray. But the moment you get in that house, company over, is an argument going on, somebody's cooked a fabulous dinner and said, sit down right now, come and eat. You're not even hungry, but they're persistent, and it smells good, and the different things, and it draws you away, and before you know it, you're in bed, and you're so tired, and you still haven't gave to God any time of your day, and you're feeling guilty. But then you say, well, I wanted to. I had a good mind to do this. My mindset was right. But you've got to break away. You've got to break away. You've got to be able to just stand strong and say, I will eat it, but I must go pray first. I will eat it, but I got some things that I got to go pray about first. You're going to pray. Yes, get used to words, I'm going to pray. Because I'm going to be saying those things more often. Yeah, it's going to be hard. In your prayer, God will, if you take one step, he will take two. You just do it. He will start to move that distraction away from you. And he's so sweet. Oh, my gosh. He will get, when you get in his presence, you just want to stay there. You just can't wait to get back to where he's at. And if you just keep on doing it until you can't do nothing else, until that's the most important thing to you, then as you're out here living life, you're living life in joy, and then it doesn't, the little things that normally would distract you or get you all upset or get you worried or get fear put out in your spirit, it's a shield now that blocks those things. And it just kind of bounces right back off of you. And you'll start to say, whoa, that normally that would have had me been all out of shape. Normally, I would have been so afraid, but I am safe in the arms of the Lord. He will hide you. He will carry you. Now, of course, the disciples heard him. I say, well, as he was talking to them and what he was saying to them in John. But they didn't quite understand him. He had to do a lot of explaining to them, just like he has to do with us. He had to do a lot of explaining to them, with them. You can read that for yourself sometimes. Just one of the key elements that I want you to notice that in the chapter is that Jesus promised to send a comforter once he left. Who was that comforter? You're right, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. me just paraphrase some of what Jesus said in these scriptures in John 14. Again, he said, do you love me? Vaughn, do you love me? Mary, do you love me? Josepha, do you love me? If so, then do what I say to do. Just do what I say to do. Obey what I've taught you. Now I'm about to go away, but don't worry. I'm leaving you high and dry. I'm not leaving you high and dry. I'm not leaving you and not to come back. I'm not leaving you with no hope. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. Once I go, I'm going to pray to my Father, and he's going to send a comforter to you. It'll be the Holy Ghost, and he's going to be the glue that unites you with my Father and me. And that comforter will never leave you. He's going to teach you things and help you remember everything that I've said. Wow, this was a powerful meeting between Jesus and his disciples. A lot of information. Just like a mother leaves her child at the daycare or has to go on a business trip. And you know I love you. And do you love me? Yes, Mommy, I love you. I know you love me. I love you. But trust me that I will return. Where I'm going to make it better for you. I'm going to prepare some release for us. And I will return and receive you unto me. And while I'm gone, I'm going to leave you here in good hands. This is this person I'm leaving you with. They're going to comfort you. They're going to teach you some things. They're going to remind you of my words that I'm saying right now, how much I love you, that I am going to return for you. That person I'm leaving you with is going to be the glue that's going to keep you with my Father and me together as one until I return. That's some powerful words. Jesus was warning them of what he was about to do. Here's one of the best parts. After he tells them about the Comforter, one of the last things he says during his conversation is this. John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just take out some moment right here and say, just thank you, Father. Oh, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your peace, because it's that peace that has carried me through all of the ups and downs and the mountains and valleys. Hallelujah. Through the fire. Hallelujah. It's that peace. It's that comforter. Not as the world has tried to comfort me, since they've tried. So your peace, the only peace that is able to sustain me. When everybody else has left and gone home, and I still sit here and have to look at the different things or think about the situations, it is your peace, only your peace. And I know that that peace comes from your legacy, so I thank you, Jesus. So the legacy of peace that God has left is not just for me, but it is for you. It is for you. He says, your name. He said, I'm leaving you peace. Not just any kind of peace. He said, but I'm going to leave you my peace. So don't worry, and don't be scared or afraid. Don't worry. Let not your heart be troubled. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. I would love to hear from you. 646-652-4916. What's going on that's blocking your peace today? What is it that is stopping you from living up and being free? Or maybe you can just express, how free do you want to be? Hallelujah. So he says, don't be afraid. And then he says, again, I'm paraphrasing, he says, I'm telling you this beforehand, before I leave, I'm going ahead and I'm telling you about this now. So you'll know, and you'll be glad knowing that I'm going to my Father in heaven. You know, he just didn't say that I'm going away, but he tells us beforehand where I'm going. He said, you'll be glad to know that I'm going to my Father in heaven, which is a whole lot better place to be. Being with my Father in heaven is a whole lot better place to be. I want you there. So after this, I'm not going to talk much to you all about the devil, about how the devil's going to come. And I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to the Father, working out stuff on your behalf. See, the world needs to know that I love my Father, and my Father gave me authority. So let's get on with it. Let's get started. We know that that's where we ultimately want to be. So I'm going to have to leave you to go ahead and get this here set up. But we're going to have to go ahead and get started with it. I'm letting you know. I'm keeping you in the loop. Today, you and I are those disciples. We are the disciples of Jesus. We're his followers. That means everything he said to the disciples is applicable to us. If you're not a believer, then you already know Jesus as your Savior. As if you don't know him as your Savior, then this is your opportunity to take that time. So the same right that he left, the same things that he was telling to the disciples, you can take advantage of. Now, if you are a believer, then you already know Jesus as your Savior. But do you know him as your Prince of Peace? Could it be that we know him as our God, as our Savior? But could it be that we still have not thought to see him as our Prince of Peace? Why is it that every time that something goes wrong in our lives, that we do just like the ones that have never met him? We get just as upset. We turn things upside down. But he is our Prince of Peace. Or have you gotten caught up in the anxiety of life and settles less for your legacy? I see you're in the chat room, the stand. God bless you all. Have you got caught up in the fears of life, in the worries of life? It is so true, and I know you've heard. If you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. You say, but evangelist, why? Because there's no room. Worry and fear can't work together. They don't fit in the same box. They can't work together. You can do one or the other. You can pray or you can worry. But you can't do both. It doesn't fit. You will not get the outcome that you're looking for. Hallelujah. Jesus commanded us not to be troubled. He told us not to be scared when things look in life. How can we obey that commandment? How can we obey that command by living in our legacy of peace? Remember that we're talking about Jesus' personal peace here. He said, my peace I give to you, not the peace that the world gives you. It's a temporary peace that the world gives you. He said, but it's my peace that I give to you. How are you to enjoy the peace that Jesus has? The peace overcomes all understanding. People say, I don't understand how that could be. How could we go through? How could you go through losing a child? How? How do you still survive that thing? How do you go day to day? It's only because of his peace. If I had to depend on the world's peace, I never would have been able to even go and bury my son. I wouldn't. I just would not. I would not have even made it from the point when they knocked on my door to tell me that my son had drowned. I would not have been able to go through that. I promise you, girl, my friends, my sisters, my brothers, it is still his peace. I'm still mourning hard. But he carries me. Oh, he carries me. It's been like 5 months now, and still, sometimes the world, the enemy tries to just lay it on me and say, think about it again. But God has strengthened me so much, and it's his peace that I can just wrap myself in him, and he hides me from the fear. He hides me from the worry. My worrying wouldn't bring my son back. I don't care how much it is that I try to, the anxiety, if I allow that to capture me, overtake my spirit, how would that be helping me? And my son, I would never see him again on this side. But God gave me 25 years with my beautiful son. And I thank God that I know his promises, that he has already went ahead, hallelujah, and prepared a place, not just for me, but also for my son. Said where he's at. He said, I'm going to my father, and it's so much better there. So when circumstances and happenstances and things come, hallelujah, he has somewhere to go. So where's my son? Did I lose him? No. He's absent of the body. He's present with the Lord. Do I miss him? I can't explain even how much I miss him. I can't even, words can't even tell you that. Have I changed? Oh, yeah, I can't explain that either. But I've never lost my faith. I've never lost my joy. Even though I may be crying because I miss him, I'm not at any time I've ever held anything, any hatred or any madness towards God, because all I could do is say, thank you, Jesus, that you have him. Thank you, Jesus, that in these times that you have a place for us. The mothers and fathers that kids go off to wars. Hallelujah. And they get a knock on the door that their kids did not make it back from this war. How do they survive it? You've got to have the peace of God. You've got to know the word of God. You've got to know that through it all, he knew that this was going to be in our future. So he told us beforehand, be prepared. Do not let your heart be troubled, Vaughn. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. And it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. And that's where we stand on. We got to live in that legacy of peace. We talk about it. But the truth comes when something happens. The truth comes when it touches on your life, when it knocks on your door. That's when the truth comes. Are you now able to stand on firm foundation? Or will you crumble? Will you allow the world to just wrap you up? Oh, yes, many people tell me, you need to go tell the doctor, give you something. Give you something to knock you out. Get something. Let the doctors give you something to get you through this mourning period. But I told them I already had something. Already had the word inside of me. Jesus was already living inside of me. I'd already had the comforter. I had my comforter. Praise the Lord. And if you have to have something, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I had to go to grief counselors. It was a shock. My son, 25, just drowned. You know? Am I over it? No, it's only been 5 months. I still got to be a mother to my other two kids. I still got to be strength to others. Have I had to go sit with other families since then? Yes. And I've had to cry and hold them as they have lost their kids. How get through it? Only through the comfort of the word. He is a true comforter. His word is true. How would you like to enjoy the peace that Jesus has? You can. His peace is deeper than what the world offers. It's not a temporary tranquility, because when you run out in the midst of your troubles and you run to different things besides God, that's only a temporary stillness. It's something that you feel good at the moment, and you feel still. You feel like, you know, I'm at peace right now. But that thing wears off. It takes you right back into that pit of pain. See, it's a spiritual calm that lets you know everything is going to be all right when you know that the Comforter is the one that's giving you safe rest. That kind of peace isn't something I dreamed up. It again, is the legacy as a follower of Christ is yours. If you are a believer, it is yours. You can take it with you every day. You can receive it every day. I have people now who still tell me, as we travel different places around the world, to just spread the word. That evangelist, I just don't know how you fly so much. I cannot fly. Well, you know, everybody has some quirks. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But, wow, I have been called and anointed to preach the word. And that's what I enjoy doing. If I could get up every morning and that's all I could do every day, that would be the happiest moments of my life. So I can't let fear hinder me. So I have to do what I have to do to get where I have to do and when God says it. So I just trust him. I trust him that he is my comforter. Even in the midst of when my flesh wants to turn to fear, my flesh wants to turn to worry or even get anxiety as a friend, I have to trust him that he is the power. He has all power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I trust him as I move forward in my life. Peace is your covenant right. Peace is your covenant right. A great price was paid to give you that peace. So never take it lightly. Jesus poured out great drops of blood and sweat for your peace. He was beaten, tortured on the cross for your peace. He bore the sins of the world and was separated from the peace of God so that it would never have to happen to you. Wait a minute. You might say that I know Jesus suffered. I know that he suffered and all that, but he bore those things for my salvation, for your salvation. When Jesus went to the cross for your salvation, he had stripes laid on his back for your healing. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. And he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we then are healed. See, peace is ours as the redeemed of the Lord. Let's look a little further into another scripture. Stand in the New Testament. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for ye know the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So we know prosperity is part of our legacy too. Jesus accomplished so much through his death, burial, and his resurrection. But before he even ascended to heaven, he left us a legacy of peace. Now, why did Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit right before he said, he'll give you peace? Because, again, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. That's what Jesus called him. He called him our comforter, the Holy Spirit. And if you notice in the scripture that Jesus didn't call the Holy Spirit our counselor, if you want counsel, talk to Jesus. If you want comfort, well, that's the Holy Ghost's job. See, the Bible says that Jesus is the counselor. the mighty God, says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you. So what have you done with the peace he left you? Did you give it away? Did you let someone else just take it from you? Have you shared peace with someone else? The peace that surrounds you, is everyone around you now much better off because now they know how to live in peace because you've shared your knowledge of peace? That's exactly what we're doing tonight. And remember, when we learn something of the word, we're not to just get fat off of it, but we are to make sure we share the word. Amen? Share the word. Share the good news. Hallelujah. What have you done with your peace that he left you? Have you accepted it and lived a life of peace, even in your human time? If not, then you aren't living in the fullness of your salvation. Are you saved? Yes. But you may not be living in the fullness of your salvation. What I mean is you're not truly enjoying your legacy, your liberty. So the question again is, how free do you want to be? The call-in number is 646-652-4916. 646-652-4916. And you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Walkwithmegod@aol.com. It is I, your servant, your friend, Evangelist Von Dumas. Hallelujah. You have a choice. What does the world give you? Well, we know that the world gives us every kind of trouble. The world gives you 30 mortgages. The world gives you hospital bills. We're just naming a few. It gives you high divorce rates. The world gives you suicides and drug cultures and every other thing meant to steal your peace. Pedophiles, kidnappers, rapists, robbers. Yet Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled through all of the things here that the world is giving you. Now, I don't deny that I will face trouble in this world, that you're going to face troubles in this world. Because all of the things that we just went through that the world is dishing out to you, yes, it's a lot of trouble. But yet in the midst of all of that, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Wow. That means I need to stay close to him. If I can going to live and not let any of this stuff trouble me or trouble me to the point that I can't function, then I need to stay close to the source. I need to be in constant relationship with the source of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We've got to stay as close to the source because he said, I am the Prince of Peace. So I refuse to be troubled by it. I have a choice. I refuse to get so down and out that I can't function. I have a choice. Would you agree that being in the midst of all of the things that has gone on, would you just agree with not just me losing my son, whatever you've lost in your life, whatever has went on in your life, it could be divorces. Divorce is a form of death. Hallelujah. It could be that job that you had worked your way up to the top, and then someone did whatever they did, and you lost that job for whatever reason. Whatever it could be. It could be the loss of a parent. Whatever it is. Could you just agree that those are troubling things? But you can't be afraid. And that afraid to the part, I'm not saying that you can't use the emotion of fear of being afraid, but, I mean, he's speaking of the word that when we let it settle in our spirits, and I hear people talk about every day, you know, evangelists, there's nobody good here left. There's no good people left. You can't trust anybody. Fear has overtaken you. worry has overtaken you. Anxiety now is your best friend. Because now what you're saying is that you're not even good. You're saying that you're either saying that you're the only good person left here, you're the only person that can be trusted, or you can't be trusted, and you're no longer good because of the things that you're seeing around you. When you make those comments, there is no more good news. And I said, well, I haven't did my job, because that's what I'm anointed and appointed to do, to deliver the good news to you. How can you sit and you wave your hands and you say amen and you shout and you do all of these things, but then you say there's no good news? You're looking at the wrong news. You're looking at the wrong news. You have the wrong source. You have a choice. You have a choice. I don't deny that those things are troubling. But you can't let it get into your spirit. Again, the verse says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I know where I'm going. If I should die today, I know where I'm going. And it is in a hot place. I know where I'm going. The Bible says that you aren't to let your heart be afraid. That means that if you have a choice of what you're going to do when circumstances hit, when you see something going on, if I'm flying tomorrow, I have a flight to Florida tomorrow morning. If for some reason that I see something going wrong with the plane, I have the choice to sit there and scream or act out in any emotion that I choose. I have that choice. Even though my body may be screaming, my mind would be still in prayer. My mind would still be, I know who my source is. Hallelujah. You got to be firm. You got to be able to tell your flesh that you're going to step back. The flesh doesn't do nothing unless the spirit gives it over to them. So whatever it is that you do, you have to make that choice. Tomorrow on your job, something's going to challenge you. Someone is going to challenge you, and you're going to have to make that choice. You're going to have to make that choice. Let not your heart be troubled. You have to make that choice. Make a hard decision to God. Make a hard, H-E-A-R-T, decision to obey God. Make a hard decision that you're going to have some faith. Hallelujah. See, the bottom line is when problems arise, there is a hard, H-E-A-R-T, decision to be made. And it's up to you to determine, how am I going to act? How am I going to choose the right thing? Bad or good, you got to make a choice, and it's up to you whether I'm going to be proud of my legacy and stand strong in Jesus' peace. See, what I'm trying to show you is that peace of God is a powerful enough thing to keep you steadfast through any trial. When problems come or thoughts of fear arise in your head, you don't have to be troubled. Jesus' peace can rule your heart and your mind. So why deny when you what you can deny? You can't defy anything if you're denying it. You can't conquer anything if you're afraid to look at it, to admit that it's there. And having Jesus' peace doesn't mean that you stick in your head, you stick your head in the sand and you just pretend that nothing is wrong, that nothing's going on. That's foolishness. The world calls it denial. But you don't have to deny it. So you defy that problem by facing it head on with the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and the words of his mouth. The words that he has left to you should be in your mouth. Then until the manifestation of the miracle appears, just hook your faith into the peace of God and refuse to be troubled. That peace doesn't come out of your mind. You may decide with your mind, but that peace has to come from your heart. It has to come from your spirit. peace is a spiritual force. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Being at peace makes you an imitator of God. The devil doesn't have any peace. He's defeated, rejected, and he's doomed. So don't imitate the devil. I want you to notice that Jesus never said the trouble wouldn't come. He said you don't have to be troubled by it. Yeah, it's going to come. So when the devil says, I'm going to trouble you today, I resist him. Don't misunderstand me. I have many opportunities to be troubled. I have many opportunities to be afraid. None of us enjoy going through trials, but that's not the issue. Because the Bible says that trouble will come, but it goes on to promise us in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me, says the Lord. It didn't say that the weapons would be formed. It said it wouldn't prosper against you. In other words, the devil may launch a missile with a target over your head. Or he may even have every tongue rising against you in strife. You know what that feels like. But peace would keep you from having an anxiety attack when you see the missiles coming. Peace will help you to stand in his strength when public opinion is against you. And faith will send the missiles and those condemning words back, just like a boomerang, to bust the devil in his head. You know, just one more thing. I have, and many parents can say the same thing. I have so many people that come to me and say, well, you know, every time I hear a siren or something, you know, and my child is not at home, or I haven't talked to my child today, or whatever, or I look at the news and I see that some disaster has went on in the state that my child stays in, or I immediately just go into a panic attack and I can't even get to the phone to call them, or I immediately just go into fear. And that's where we have to stop and start to practice and working it out. That's where we have to start right at the beginning. Not allowing, that is when we make the choice. I'm going to stand on the word. I have prayed for the safety and protection daily of my family. And I believe that they are in God's protection. Hallelujah. People say some of the things, you know, they once they believe something, they will try to get it in your head. So you have to be very, very, very careful of who you listen to. After my son went home to be with the Lord, my oldest son is a police officer. He's a federal. And I had a few people to come and tell me, said, well, I'm sure that you now are almost devastated with fear just knowing that your son is in the Fed, just knowing that, you know, the job that your son is doing. No, I'm not. I'm not. Because I'm not. I believe in his word. I believe God. I believe his word. And I'm not going to ask my son to stop living. I would not be an example to you, to my kids, to anyone that I preach to, if I wouldn't and let that become a stronghold now. Because it would never end. Now my son can't be what he wants to be in life. He can't do that job. It would be something else. I don't care. It would get to the point that I don't care what he was doing, what my daughter was doing. If you allow fear to set in, it would just take over. Now it would be, you know, if they go to the store, something could happen. You can't live by fear. So it's a choice that I have decided to make in my life. It's a choice that you have to decide to make in your life. I will believe wholeheartedly in what God says. I'm not going to deny that there's troubles that has come, will come, continuously as long as I'm alive. But I can't defy it if I keep denying it. So why deny when you can defy? And that's what God wants us to do. Again, it doesn't say that the weapons wouldn't be formed, but it does say that those weapons will not prosper against you. So I don't care what the doctors have told you. Those weapons will not prosper against you. You too must tell yourself and believe it. Talk to your body. Touch your body. Preachers and teachers, I see you lay hands on everyone. Lay hands on yourself. I see it's really something. I see some of the strongest Christians in one walk of life, but don't believe the things in their own life. Are losing a battle in their own life. Setting people free in another walk of life. Trust him for one thing. Trust him for all things. Hallelujah. Faith will send the missiles of those condemning words right back to the devil. He will restore your peace. My personal definition of peace, as we come to our closing hour, is possession of adequate resources. If I'm going to have peace, I need to have in my possession adequate resources to live life. It won't matter what you're doing through. It doesn't matter what you're going through if you possess an adequate supply of faith to go through it. It doesn't matter what you're going through as long as you have an adequate amount of faith to go through it. When you worry about the light bill that you've got and you know you don't have enough money, that's when you know that it's something lacking. But do you worry about that same light bill when you've got enough money to pay it for the year? You've got enough money that you can pay your light bill for the year. Do you worry about that light bill? No. Do you worry about a disease when the doctor just told you that you're in the top 5% of healthiest people in the world? No. Do you worry about your kids failing school when he just brought home a perfect report card? No. Well, Jesus said he's given you his peace. Again, that supernatural calmness about every situation. That's trust. If you trust God when all hell seems to be storming through the gates of your life, you're living in God's given legacy. If your heart is filled to overflowing with the word of God, that peace will come right up out of your heart, and you'll have a decision to make to trust in his peace or worry. Trust in his peace, or you can end up worrying like the rest of the world. John 15:11 says, it explains to why Jesus gave us his peace. Again, John 15:11. Why Jesus gave us his peace. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He wants you to be full of joy. Notice that Jesus got personal again. He's just speaking it. I just see my names right there. I hear him speaking to me. I hear him speaking it to you. He gave you his own personal joy. He gave you his own personal peace. Why? So that my joy, your joy, may be full. The Bible says that joy is the strength of God. Again, the Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10, it says that the joy, J-O-Y, joy, is the strength of God. I'm sure you've heard before. If you really want to have true joy, you must follow the word joy. You must put Jesus first, others, and then yourself. Somebody said, now you just lost me there. You want me to put others before myself. But joy, you must put Jesus first, others, and then yourself. Who can you help today? To be a leader, you must first be a servant. Hallelujah. On my job, the ones I lead, I'm a servant to them. Because I will stay late to make sure that my people got what they need. They can go home after their 8 hours. I don't work on 8 hours. I work to make sure that everything is done and that they have what they need to do their job. Jesus is our joy. He's the strength. Joy is the strength of God. So if peace is the possession of adequate resources, then joy is the strength to operate in that possession. And if you're facing a situation that is screaming doubt and screaming unbelief at you, you need the scriptures. Turn to Isaiah 4:13 and just repeat back to that situation. For I, the Lord, thou God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Can you trust God to take your hand and help you? Can you trust God to take your hand and help you? Hallelujah. You know what? My kids, and I'm sure your kids, when they were small, they would do anything, especially when they was just starting to walk or going into an unfamiliar place. They would run as fast as their little legs and feet could take them to get up to me, to hold on to my fingers. They grab a finger, they grab a hand, because they could trust. They knew that if they could just catch a hold of me, that I would protect them. They felt the comfort. They trusted me to take their hand and help them. So can you trust God to take your hand and help you? Hallelujah. That's exactly the kind of help God is talking about here. If you meditate on that verse and know with certainty that God is helping you, your situation won't be a struggle. You'll be able to fly a few steps farther than you would on your own. Hallelujah. The devil can't surprise God. So when we speak words that nothing good is happening, there is no good left, the devil can't surprise God. One of the tricks of the devil is to try and convince believers that God is caught by surprise by his attack on their life. You know, where was he? Where was God when all of this happened? Nothing just happened. And God is not caught off guard. Nothing just happened. He whispers that God hasn't figured out what to do about your situation. He whispers intimidating things in your ear. He insinuates to you that God is sitting up in heaven completely dumbfounded, and that he has no idea what to do about your situation. And if he's never encountered such a, if you've never encountered such a rough attack, listen out. Those are the things that the enemy will say. I've tricked God. He has no way. You say, where are you? Why isn't God here with me? Why is he allowing this to happen? What is going on? Nothing could be further from the truth, I tell you, my sisters and brothers. You may say that you just don't know what I'm going through. I may not, but God does. Actually, God saw the problem before you were born. He's heard worse and seen worse and done more fixing in people's lives than you may ever need. The only thing that will derail God's plan is if you get troubled by your troubles. Jesus left you that legacy of peace exactly for troubling times. So the only thing that will derail God's plan is if you get troubled by your troubles. Philippians 4 and 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." Again, Philippians 4 and 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." You need your mind to be kept, to function. You got to have your mind. You got to be thinking right. You need your mind to be kept. You need your heart to be kept for you to daily go on and go about your daily walk, still serving, still praising Him, still lifting Him up. You got to have your mind right. You got to have your heart right. It's a hard decision. Hallelujah. That verse says that you won't be able to understand the peace that God gives you. I know I can't. I can't understand the peace that I'm walking with right now. And really, who cares if you understand it? Just know that you've got His peace. Just know that you've got His peace. I know that I've got His peace. Peace is what keeps your heart from falling apart. When your heart is breaking, peace is what keeps your heart from falling apart. It's what keeps your mind from going berserk when life seems to throw you a curveball. He said, "I wasn't expecting that to happen. I never thought that this person would just come in and say they wanted a divorce. I never expected that to happen. I never expected that the person that I exchanged vows with has been having an outside affair for years. I never expected it." Some others may say, "I never expected that when I left my spouse that the grass is not greener on the other side like I thought." So I never expected that. Now I'm left out here by myself. Hallelujah. It is a hard decision. Hallelujah. Now, on one of the things that happen in your life that will get you turned upside down and try to turn your peace upside down is when it's personal, when it comes to straight up to you. When you're praying for somebody else's situation, it's a little different. But when that moment, when it hits you personally, you got to know that the power of Jesus is able to carry you through. Otherwise, you wouldn't call His name. Because even the ones who say that they don't believe in Jesus, even the ones who say that they believe in Buddha, they worship other gods, when it comes directly and knocks on your door, I haven't heard them yet. Have you? Who do people turn to? It's, "Oh my God, help me. Jesus, help me." Because they obviously somewhere in their spirit, in the flesh may not, but in their spirit, made of spirit, created of spirit, their spirit cries out to the Creator. Because the spirit knows the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Spirit chooses to live life knowing the power of Jesus. Even though you walk around and you see people who choose daily and they brag, it's getting bold. The demonic spirits are getting bold. And they choose to live life without the real peace in their hearts. And they enjoy getting upset. And they enjoy telling you about what upset them and what they did and how they reacted. And they look for you to say, no one could blame you. This was a horrible situation. Trouble did come knocking at your door. No one could blame you for going off. No one could blame you for taking that life. No one could blame you. They're looking for excuses for the choices that they make. Look, you can't have a testimony without a test. You cannot have a testimony without a test. You can't deliver a message without going through some mess. You can't have victory without fighting in a battle. But you can have peace of God in the middle of both. In the midst of your mess, in the midst of your test, in the midst of your battle, you can have peace right in the midst of that. Not when it's over, but right in the midst of that. One thing I noticed about God is that he'll go the extra mile to help someone who's in trouble. He will go the extra mile to help you. Hallelujah. He wants to help you. I thank God for him wanting to help me. I thank God for him wanting me to be at peace. I thank God for that. I thank God for being my leader. I thank God for being my biggest sponsor, for sending me a comforter. We need to let go of all the hang-ups, the hold-back, and the strongholds. Hallelujah. And we need to let go and let God, let him rule. Let him abide in your life. Let him show you how to get peace, what liberty is truly about. How free do you want to be? How free do you want to be? And when you get a hold of it, pass it on to others. Hallelujah. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have peace, you can't give peace to someone else. You can't teach your kids how to live in peace if you don't have peace. Hallelujah. You cannot tell someone how you have stood strong in the Lord in the midst of your test if you've never been there, if you've wimped out every time, turned your back every time. Let me tell you something about peace as we close. You can't give what you don't have. So God saw what was troubling you. God has heard the prayers on your behalf. And he goes out of his way to arrange and orchestrate a whole situation to make sure that you are in the right place to receive peace. Will you receive his peace that he has for you today? I have made a decision to live my life in the legacy of liberty and peace. I've made a decision to let the peace of God rise up in my heart while changing all of the things around me that I know I need to change. And God has used me as a result to bring people into the kingdom. I'm grateful that Jesus left me a legacy of peace, and I'm proud to have that kind of supernatural peace available to me. Are you proud to have it available to you? Are you taking advantage of it? What are you doing with the peace that he has available for you? And if you did not recognize that it is available to you, congratulations. Now you know. Take hold. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit now, as it lives inside of me, you have the same opportunity for the Holy Spirit to dwell and live inside of you. Things will come knocking at your door that's unexpected. And sometimes over and over and over again, because that's life. You got to have something deep down inside of you that's able to comfort you, to take you through those waters. And even though you may feel like it's overtaken you, if he lives inside of you, believe that you're going to be all right. He will bring you through. He will take you through the situation, any situation that you come through. I'm grateful that Jesus left me that legacy of peace. Jesus' peace makes a difference in my life. And that peace is as much yours as it is mine. Remember, each and every day, you make a choice. You can live the legacy, and you can pass the legacy on to others. But you can't give away what you don't have. But God bless you as you live for Jesus Christ. Friend, God loves you, and he wants you to know that you can find rest in him no matter what kind of trouble, no matter what kind of trouble you're facing. He wants to give you his legacy of peace. Peace that's supernatural. Peace that brings calmness in any situation. His legacy of supernatural peace is part of his great redemption plan for you. It's a plan to bring you into a personal relationship with him. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to shed his blood as the ultimate sacrifice for the mistakes of mankind, while carrying the chastisement of our peace for us. All you have to do is accept his work in faith. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, it would be my honor to introduce you. You know, when we make it and we see Jesus face to face, and when he say, "Well done, my servant," you know, he's also going to ask, "Who did you bring with you? Who's here that is here because of the word that you've given? Who's coming because of what you've done in your life? Who did you bring with you?" As you say these words, if you believe them with your heart, you will be born again. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You have a brand new life of victory. You have a brand new life of peace ahead of you. So from this day on, the Prince of Peace is with you. He's in you. And he's there to help you conquer any trials that may come your way. Glory, hallelujah. Now, it's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. And we would just love to hear from you here at Tri-Anointed Ministries. We would love to hear of your decision to follow Christ. He is Emmanuel. Hallelujah. You can use the email at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, walkwithmegod@aol.com. Also, I see a lot of you are reaching out to me at thewalkwithmelord@yahoo.com. God bless you. Either way you want to get in touch with us. We are here. We will send out Bibles, any other material to get you started on your walk with Jesus Christ to get you in the right direction where you can now have eternal peace right here. Right here. You can also leave us a message here on the blog talk through either one of the email addresses. If you wanted to reach out further from there, we can exchange numbers. We can talk. We can pray over a church home in your city or state. We'd like to send you anything that would help you on how to understand your salvation, to help you begin your new life with Jesus Christ. So let me know if you would like a Bible or any other material to help you get started. I remind you that all heaven now is joined, rejoicing with your decision to follow Christ. And remember, God has a supernatural peace for you. It is your legacy to enjoy his liberty. His liberty is your freedom. And you can't get what you don't have. You can't get what you don't have. We thank you, Jesus, for another show, another broadcast. We thank you for all of the ones that has been in the chat room, for the ones that has called in that just wanted to listen online by calling in. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that every home that is represented here tonight, hallelujah, just be touched. Every home that is represented here tonight, made a decision to follow you, dear Father, become a new thing, a strong thing. And someone is saying that I've tried it before and I keep forgetting or I get distracted and I forget. But God says right now is your chance. You've now did the biggest and the boldest thing by just inviting him in and saying, God, I'm going to be with you. I want you to be with me. I want your joy inside of me. As I go through the troubles of this world, I want your joy with me. I want to know that you're right beside me. I want to know that you're within me. I want to know that you'll pick me up and carry me through this turmoil. I want to know that you are the one that will comfort me. And this comforter is always with me. And this comforter will teach me. And this comforter will remind me of your promises to me. And this comforter will remind me that you're going to the Father to prepare a place for me, that where you are, that I can be also, and that you will return unto me, and you will receive me unto you. And I praise you, and I honor you, and I thank you for letting me just know that I have a choice. Hallelujah. We thank you for your peace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all of the hearers and all of the doers. In Jesus' name, amen. My sisters and brothers, I just remind you, you have a choice. You have a choice. You are the disciple. So the words that Jesus is speaking, he's speaking now to you, his disciples. We are his disciples. Peace is your covenant right. Peace is your covenant right. You said all the things I've done in my life, I did some bad things, and this is just karma. It's no way that I'm ever going to be able to have peace. Peace is your covenant right. Why deny it when you can defy? Face it. Know what definition of peace is now. And the devil can't surprise God. The devil can't surprise God. And as you stand and learn to stand strong in your peace, pass on the peace. Start passing on the peace. Pass it on to your loved ones. Pass it on your job. The way that you were reacting now, be a little different. Let them be able to see your peace. Don't let someone be surprised to know that you have peace in your life because of the way that you're acting. Let them be able to come to you before, without you saying anything, saying, what is different about you? You are so peaceful. Where is the joy? How were you able to remain calm in those situations? They were lying on you. They were sacrificing. They were doing all kind of different things. Scandalizing your name. How were you able to keep your peace? I love the way that the peace looks on you. You will be surprised of the way that peace looks upon you. You will be surprised of the way that your body will start to conform to health, to healthy issues, just by being in peace. Hallelujah. You'll be surprised how your skin will clear up just by living a peaceful God, a peaceful life. And you do that by giving it over to Jesus, making a heart, H-E-A-R-T, decision to abide in Christ. And he will abide in you. Hallelujah. We honor him because he's worthy. We praise him because he's worthy. As we go out with the song Worthy, I remind you that I will stay in the chat room for a few minutes and we can chat. Again, this is Evangelist Vaughn Dumas out of San Antonio, Texas, from the Tri-Anointed Ministries. And we welcome you to get in touch with us. I love your emails. I love your prayer requests. And we pray three times a day for you. We put you on the prayer wall. You can reach us again at walkwithmegod@aol.com, walkwithmelord@yahoo.com, or right here at the Blog Talk Radio. I know there's some changes that are going to be going on with the Blog Talk, and it may be some limited times or limited hours, but God is our source. Just another time for us to believe of his power. God is our source, and we will continuously praise his name at all times.
Hallelujah.
right. Put your hands together and clap. God bless you all. God keep you. Until we meet again, remember, Jesus is Lord. You have the right for liberty. Take advantage of the legacy. How free do you want to be? Pass it on. You can't give what you don't have. You get your peace and pass it on to others. God bless you and keep you. We love you. Evangelist Von Dumas signing off.